The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Hey, grandkids, welcome back to another edition of the Stunt Granny Interview Series. Yes, we have a special guest this week. Not only do I have the ever-faithful Dan Keister by my side. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing great, Kevin. I'm going to throw this at you. Unexpected Cardinal win tonight and a Pirate loss, and we are tied for the wild card, so I'm in a good mood.
Okay, well, you can bite me. But someone who may bite Justin LaBarre this weekend is also with us. How you doing, Mr. McGuire?
Pardon the interruption, but Aaron McGuire, I believe this is my fifth time on the show. Five times.
It's either five or four. I think it's fourth for Stunt Granny.
I think it's four resolutions, and one just phone call out of the blue.
Yes. Oh, you know what? I do believe you're correct. Yeah.
So there we go. I'm happy to be here.
Do not doubt an agent's ability to keep numbers and things of that nature in context. A super.
And then And off the record live interview last year at the Harpo's Bar and Grill during the Dan Arkham meet and greet.
There you go.
That is a one-on-one interview that for some reason never got published. The CIA had to redact too many of those files, so we could not put anything up on Stunt Granny. Oh, well, you are here to talk about Resolution 5, An Enduring Spirit, which is this coming Sunday at Jacob's Pavilion in Cleveland, Ohio. What say you, sir, about this fifth installment of the annual iPay-per-view?
Well, this one's one I personally have the most stake in and I'm most excited about because I've taken over and gotten myself with some help from a very good friend of mine, Marion Fontaine, into upper management. I got a nice cushy chair and an office with a window view and rebranded the company Prime Wrestling. And I was asked to be the Prime Minister of Prime Wrestling. Joe Dombrowski says that that's a made-up title, but I can say if you're in upper management, you can make up your own titles. Dombrowski knows nothing about that because he's not in upper management. So I'm excited, more excited than I've ever been about Resolution, and plus, my involvement is very limited this year. I have no contact with Bane. I have no personal money invested into a match where I'm betting against one Jason Bane. I'm not worried about Kevin Nash, although I am a little worried about Aaron Draven. I heard about he's been tanning a lot recently, and I don't want to get too close to him because there's some links between tanning and mental diffusions to one's vascular, particular, medulla oblongata.
Well, are you worried that Marion Fontaine is going to have this happen to him in the ring on Sunday?
Well, I'll tell you this, and this is breaking news. It's a scoop that I'm giving Stunt Granny and no one else. I bought Marion Fontaine sunblock. So hopefully that's he applies that. and that takes care of that whole situation with the extra bronzing of one Omega Aaron Draven.
See, now, I thought it would have been the power of the mustache that helped cure that problem.
Well, the power of the mustache works in mysterious ways. And sometimes you can channel it to offset the sun's harmful UV rays, but at other times you can channel it to offset various aspects of one Justin LaBar, the commissioner of Prime Wrestling, and we have channeled the power of the mustache in order to block our eyes from his cat slack that he leaves on his computer while typing.
I heard that come up before. I had a point to make on a recent interview that Kevin might appreciate that Marion Fontaine gave. He talked about the accidental chair shot that Justin LaBar took a few months ago, and he added the word oops, which for longtime listeners of Stunt Granny is something that is used to say something you really want to say, but you cover yourself legally by saying, oops, I didn't mean to say that. Does that imply that possibly, in your expert opinion, that he might have possibly hit LaBar on purpose with that chair?
Well, I think from the way that everybody was, it seemed as though Marion Fontaine was being attacked every which way he looked that day. And from the left, there was a referee. And from the right, there was a Gregory Iron. And from behind, there was a Justin LaBar, which at this point, here at the moment, you're not sure who's coming after you. You're being attacked from all sides. I was still in a neck brace at the time, so Marion Fontaine knew that I wouldn't be able to jump up and come to his rescue, so he had to do what any man would do in that situation, and he just swung away. He didn't know, was this a fan attacking him? Well, actually, in this case, it was a fan, as Justin LaBar is a fan. But, could it have been a security guard? Could it have been Jason Bain? Could it have been Johnny Gargano? Could it have been a guy in a ski mask? One doesn't know, so one has to take precaution. He swung a chair. Yes, he swung a chair on purpose. Was it because he knew it was Justin LaBar? I can't say for sure. He tells me no. I have to believe him. Marion Fontaine has long been known as an upstanding, honest individual. His word for it, and being upper management, Prime Minister of Prime Wrestling, I'm going to go ahead and clear his name and say he didn't know that was Justin LaBar. He just knew somebody was trying to get a piece of the action, and he took whatever measures it took to ensure his safety. I'm proud of him for it. And that's a darn shame for what happened to Justin LaBar. And I know, we both felt bad. Marion and I both felt bad. Mr. Fontaine went and he sent a card and some flowers and a couple balloons down to Justin LaBar's mother's basement, where LaBar resides. And when he's on the internet, so hopefully, that helped ease the pain a little bit. Beyond that, I think this issue needs to be settled. We all think this issue needs to be settled once and for all. Let's get it done and over with so that these two individuals never have to cross paths again. And if in some sort of fashion they do have to cross paths, there's a third party involved where we never have to see LaBar and Fontaine in the ring are on camera together again.
Well, that's a fair point. And, the implication from Mr. Dombrowski on the commentary is that your involvement in this match goes beyond just being the Prime Minister of Prime Wrestling, that you're not, there to try and kind of keep the peace and keep things moving in the right direction. I know there have been some things that have happened in recent matches where you and Mr. LaBar have been at ringside that have been a little out of control, but I can't say that those have been necessarily your fault.
Well, Mr. LaBar was at ringside, and if you see the most recent episode of Prime Wrestling TV that aired last, the most recent new Matt Highlight episode was, a tag team match between Matt Cross and Johnny Gargano against the megastar Marion Fontaine and the Zombie Princess, Prime Champion Jimmy Jacobs. During that match, Justin Labar got up. He attempted to swing a chair at the megastar, Marion Fontaine. Luckily, I was a cornerback when I played middle school football. I intercepted that chair, took it from him, and I threw it away, and I don't know what happened after that, because then I had to get into basketball mode, and I was blocking out Labar from interfering in the match. And that's just, I'm there to do what I'm there to do, and that's what I did. You know, the man is on probation in Prime Wrestling, Justin Labar is, and I'm kind of his probation officer, so I made sure that he stayed out of the way, and I would do the same thing at Resolution 5 if need be. I mean, I'd like to squash the beef. I mean, you've seen so many people have put their differences aside recently, and, you know, the Bloods and the Crips, they've called a truce, and the Jacksons have all called a truce within each other, and they may do a reunion tour. So I want to do the same thing with Justin Labar. Let's call a truce, and he can let me take care of all the wrestling business, and I'll let him continue to critique the show from his transport.
Excellent. Now, you spoke as if you had an ace up your sleeve for this coming matchup. Is there any way you could give us a hint as to what this ace might be?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've always got some plan. You know, and Marion Fontaine does as well. You have to go into every match with some kind of a plan and also a backup plan in case plan A is foiled. So the wise thing to do would be to have an ace up our sleeve. We have something in mind, and then we have something else in mind in case the first thing doesn't work out. I already know their battle plan because these guys, you know, this Aaron Draven and Justin Labar, they love the TV time, and they love to talk about themselves. So they've already given away what they're going to do. They said, well, we've got an assistant, and we've got this guy that, you know, he mapped out everything for us, this Vic Cavaliante, and so he's in our corner. And I says, well, no, that's not going to happen. I've already called him on it, because I'm going to make sure that Victor Leonte is sitting at ringside with Joe Dombrowski calling this match as I stay there right near the ring as a special enforcer. So we've already canceled out one of their plans. Now, whatever else they may have involved, I'm sure that the megastar has something either up his sleeve or hidden inside of his trunks to take care of that.
Very good. And so the outcome will be, for those of you that don't know the history, last year, Mr. Fontaine teamed with Brody Lee against Draven and Nash, and that match did not go the way that I would assume you would have preferred to see. So there will not be a repeat of that type of outcome this year.
Oh, absolutely not. That match, for to the best of my knowledge, is still under review. And upon further detail, once it's made available, I'll be able to shed some more light into that situation. But I've got a couple of my attorneys and a couple of magistrates and a few judges and a couple lawyers and my Nana. And they're all looking into it, and I think there's going to be a closed-door meeting, and we'll come to a final decision on whether that match is reversed or not in the near future.
Could you break that news on Stunt Granny when the decision is rendered?
Yeah, I can break that news on Stunt Granny. What I will do is I will tweet it, and I will tweet that the information is available, and anyone who follows me at Fair to Air will find out that it's time to go to Stunt Granny and find out the outcome of that event.
Okay, well, that's great. And I'm going to turn this over to Kevin in just a minute, but I had one other follow-up question. As we mentioned off-air, I traveled from the Kansas City area last year to Resolution, found it to be an extremely worthwhile trip and a great event, and they had a pre-party, and it was a really neat weekend watching the now Prime Wrestling group. I cannot do that this year, unfortunately, but I went last year primarily because of excitement about the three-way match between Matt Cross, Johnny Gargano, and Josh Prohibition. Is there a match, in your opinion, this year, there's an 11-match card that is kind of under the radar and might be a wrestling fan's dream match if they were to go to the Jacobs Pavilion and watch this, and then we might have Kevin preview kind of the card from top to bottom after we talk about that?
Yeah, and that's a great question, and here's a great answer. Matt Cross, M-Dog 20, versus Petey Williams, the former X Division champion in Impact Wrestling, formerly known as Little Petey Pump, and he's been off wrestling, off television, since leaving Impact, but ironically says he wants to get back on television, and in order to be back on television, he needed to make an impact. That impact being a challenge he laid out to Matt Cross. These two individuals have never met in a one-on-one contest and have only met one other time in a tag match, which resulted in them locking up and then 12 to 15 seconds of contact afterwards. So basically, these two men have never engaged in a full contact match in their lives. First time ever, it's going to happen at Wrestlelution 5. Wrestling fans, dream match, especially the internet wrestling fan. People are going to love that. And as the Prime Minister, I set that match up perfectly. I signed it, I sealed it, and on August 19th, those two individuals are going to deliver it.
Well, and I do plan on watching the match. Maybe you can talk about, for those of the folks like myself that can't attend Jacobs Pavilion, or alternate ways to watch Wrestlelution.
Well, the easiest way is just to go to primewrestling.com, and there's an icon. It says IPPV, Internet Pay-Per-View. Click on that, and it'll set you up, and that's all you have to do. You just pay with your credit card through there, and you're hooked up. And you don't even have to go to GoFightLive.tv. You don't have to go to their website. You just go to PrimeWrestling.com, click on IPPV, and sit back and relax. Enjoy it. Well, I don't know if you'll be able to relax, because especially with this match, Cross and Little Petey Pump, I think people are going to be on the edge of their seats the entire time, if not standing.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah,
Kevin?
It should be a very interesting match indeed with two guys with a similar build and similar agility matching up. It should be a good one. Another good one in my book, in a team that you, Mr. McGuire, used to be heavily into. There is a hair versus hair match between Bobby Shield and Bobby Beverly, with Nikki Valentino as the referee. Do you see Nikki Valentino favoring one of the Bobbies over another?
Well, you know, that's another great question. It's been asked by many people, not just fans, but those on the Prime Wrestling roster as well. And you know, the question was brought to the attention of Mr. Valentino, and he addressed this in an interview. He said, which way do I go? Who do I favor? Whose side am I on? And his reply was, Bobby. He's on the side of Bobby. Well, they're both named Bobby, and I don't think Nikki Valentino's stupid, so I think he's got something in mind, but he's not letting anybody know. I don't know which way. He's always been the one. Sex appeals had, when you get those three egos involved with each other, there's always the combustible element of which one thinks that they're the leader, which one thinks they're the most handsome, which one thinks that they have the best hair, which one has the best tan, which one gets the most girls, which one dances the best, etc., etc. There's been a lot of problems. They've overcome all their problems, but any time there was friction within sex appeal, Nikki Valentino always stayed neutral. Bobby Beverly may have walked off to the left, Bobby Shields may have walked off to the right, but Nikki Valentino was always in the middle. And at Resolution 5 on August 19th, he's in the middle again, but this time he's going to be wearing a black and white striped referee shirt. He's going to be officiating. He's going to be, I guess, calling it right down the middle. And when he watches his two best friends, sex appeal, explode in the ring in a hair versus hair match, one of these men's looks will be changed forever and eternally bruising their ego.
And Bobby Bobby Shields has taken a lot of hair off of other individuals, so he might get a payback there. Sorry, Kevin.
No, I was just going to ask you, Aaron, whether you thought either of these gentlemen would look better bald than the other.
Well, I would normally say Bobby Beverly because of the thrust. But he stopped doing the thrust recently. He said he put that behind him. He's his own man now. He's distancing himself from sex appeal. He said that he brought Jimmy Jacobs in to guide sex appeal originally. But he saw that Jimmy Jacobs had his own selfish motives, whatever that means. And so Beverly wanted to strike out on his own. Well, through the advice of Mr. Jacobs, Mr. Shields began taking away his opponent's hair. Because when you take away a man's hair, you take away his sex appeal. So as he began doing that, he shaved the beard of Mr. RBI. He shaved the head of Corey Winters. He cut the bangs of Ben Fruth. Okay, and then he was going to do it to Johnny Gargano, and Beverly stopped him. And then he was going to do it again the next week to Bat Dan, Dan Arkham, and Beverly stopped him again. And that's when I had enough of Bobby Beverly. I washed my hands of him. I'm done. We used to be friends. I don't see him having that killer instinct anymore. He comes out. He wrestles this match against the youngster Aiden Vale the other day, and he's getting his fans cheers, and he's worried about that, and it kind of sickens me to know who he used to be and what he's become. But Bobby Shields, even if Bobby Shields, I don't know that I even want to think of Bobby Shields losing his hair. But I have to imagine he'd be bald and beautiful, because his name's Beautiful Bobby Shields. And it wouldn't be beautiful if he was just only beautiful with a certain length of hair. So I'd have to say that either way, Bobby Shields will look the best. Bobby Shields is going to come out looking better than ever. Whether his hair is long, short, mohawk, faux hawk, regardless.
Excellent. And why did I completely blank on what the next question was going to be? Well,
you blanked because you were picturing Bobby Shields giving the people what they want in that pose. I know. We all do it. And I used to blink when Bobby Beverly gave people the thrust, but thrust demographics out the window. It's going downhill now, so we just have Bobby Shields to look forward to, posing and giving the people what they want.
Excellent. Someone else who has some funky hair would be Michael the Bomber Facade, who is taking on Cursed in a casket match. Jason Gorey in a casket match. Is this going to be the most violent encounter ever in prime wrestling?
I'll answer that with a one-word answer right now. Yes. And then two, I have to say this. The more you talk about this, hair versus hair with Bobby Beverly and Bobby Shields. And talk about this, the dirty hair, dreadlocks of Michael the Bomber Facade. And we talked about Johnny Gargano, and he has by far the stupidest haircut in all of wrestling. And then we go on, and we have this, what's his name? Bat Dan, okay, and his long hair. And then this Fauxhawk by Brian Castle. You know how Impact Wrestling has that one pay-per-view a year where every match is inside of a steel cage? What's that one called?
Lockdown, okay.
Well, I'd like to have the next pay-per-view called Haircut. And it's just every match is hair versus hair match, and we eliminate so many bad haircuts from professional wrestling. I think we could eliminate half of them that night, and then we'll come back, and then, you know, the winner gets his haircut as well. I think it's something that you guys just gave me an idea of. I'll run it by the other members of upper management. Joe Dombrowski's not in that meeting because he's not part of upper management, but I will, and we'll see what happens. But I appreciate the idea. And to go back to your original question, yes, this is going to be probably, definitely, maybe, could be the most violent match in the history of prime wrestling, as the television title not only is on the line, but these two men, Gore and Facade, have feuded for well over a year, damn near close to 2 years, and one of them is getting stuffed inside of a casket, an airtight casket. I don't know what's going to come of it. I mean, you have to say the advantage goes with Corey. He's Dead Wrestling Society. From what I understand, a man sleeps in a coffin. So he knows his way around that casket more than anybody else. He knows how to get out of it when he needs to. He knows how to put somebody in it when he needs to. He knows how to seal it. So I'd say advantage goes to Corey. And as far as the violence factor goes, it's going to be one of those matches where I'm not sure that I'm going to want to be there calling it, because things could get gruesome. Things will get gruesome.
Well, and last year in the Crimson Jason Bane match, the Dead Wrestling Society showed a preponderance to get involved in that type of a match, which I think this is kind of. Am I mistaken in saying that this matches pretty much anything goes up to, including the casket, or is that incorrect?
Yeah, I don't know that there's going to be many opportunities or enforcing of a rope break in a match like this, or, you know, admonishing from the referee somebody maybe using the tights or something like that. I think this is basically, these two men have been at war with each other for well over a year, almost 2 years. And when you get to that point, there's got to be a lot of leeway. It's a casket match. Anything can happen. And I'm sure anything will happen.
Well, and one other point I'd make, getting back to what you mentioned earlier, I would suspect that if Bobby Shields were successful in his match with Bobby Beverly, he's not the biggest Michael Facade fan. He may try and continue to cut more people's hair in the future. Who knows?
Well, I'd sure hope that he continues, because there's a lot of clients that I'd like him to take care of. A lot. Bane. I'd like to see him cut Bane's hair. That'd be good.
Mustache?
Well, I think the only hair he has is on his chest, correct?
A lot of back hair, too.
A lot of back hair. Yeah, that would be a very large job. And a man who Jason Bane has been brought up a couple of times, and he will be taking on a man beast this year. And you have no ties to this match, as you mentioned. What is your objective opinion on Jason Bane versus Rhino?
Wow. Okay, Jason Bane has been upset. It's been the first full year he hasn't been upset with me, so I'm okay with that. He's been upset because he lost the championship. He couldn't get the job done in the number one contenders match. And it kind of lit a spark or a fire underneath him. And he plays this open challenge to anybody, whether it be four-sided ring, octagon, karate, jujitsu, boxing, anybody anywhere. Come face me at Resolution. Well, there's a couple of people that made calls that were interested in being on Resolution, but once they found out it was against Bane, whose record speaks for itself, he's 4-0, and actually, if you want to talk about the year that the first Resolution, where he pinned Cronus, and he followed that up by pinning me, unofficially, he's 5-0. All of a sudden, the pool thinned of people that wanted to be on Resolution. But one man that called, the man who's a master of the gore, the man-beast, the war machine, Rhino. If there's anybody in professional wrestling that is feared as much as Jason Bane, the most dominant man in prime wrestling, it might have to be the war machine, Rhino. And this guy's a former ECW champion. He's the ECW and TV champion at the same time, unifying those championships. He's been a hardcore champion in the WWE. He was in TNA wrestling. He's their world heavyweight champion. And this man's done it all. And now he goes into Resolution 5 to face... This could be his biggest challenge in a long, long time. I mean, considering that Jason Bane's a former champion, most dominant man, and his record of 4-5-0 at Resolution, a lot on Rhino's plate. But he said he doesn't fear Jason Bane. He doesn't fear the Bane line. He said, as a matter of fact, Bane, you hit me with the Bane line. I'm going to kick out. I'm going to get up. I'm going to smile. I'm going to give you the middle finger. And then I'm going to tear you in half with the gore. 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 And he said it like that, but, you know, a little bit more anger. So I have to say, this is the first year that I really think that actually Jason Bane has an advantage because he is welcoming this challenge. He's brought it on. Every year I'm against Jason Bane. I say that he's not going to win. I said he couldn't beat any time that I went up against him, Raven, Cronus, me, the Gambinos, or last year when Crimson went up against him, because it wasn't his environment. He survived everything. Jason Bane's kind of made me a believer. And so I'm going to go with Jason Bane in this match. If I have to pick somebody, if I have to put my money on somebody, I'm picking Jason Bane.
Wow. Wow. Well, if you did that, and no offense, but you might be able to make up some of the money that you've lost in previous years, as you mentioned. So that's a pretty surprising pick, but it's good that you're so objective about people that have kind of cost you in the past. So that's very impressive. And I would argue that Rhino was the last real ECW champion that there was. So he has a very impressive record, no doubt.
Yeah, and then this match is just these two guys. I mean, even if you're putting them anywhere else and it wasn't Resolution, you know, you just put these two individuals in the ring against each other, there's something's going to happen. You know, the old saying is they better reinforce the ring. And usually they use that for, you know, if a couple 500-pounders are going at it or something like that. But this one, these guys, every time they hit you with a move, I mean, when these guys lock up, it's hard to watch because it's so difficult. You know what I mean? These guys are stiff. Well, you know, Jason Bane, he applies a side headlock, and sometimes the man's gear may start to come off. Rhino will punch you in the face, and it's not unlikely that your tooth will fall off, or teeth will fall out. So imagine this magnitude. On this level, it's going to be worth the price of admission alone.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Another match that some people might say is worth the price of admission is you're also another longtime adversary of yours, one Gregory Iron, taking on the newest son of Michigan and Zach Gowan, the one-legged wonder. Do you think Zach Gallen has the psychological edge on Mr. Iron already?
Well, definitely. I mean, it wasn't too long ago that both of them, you know, they teamed together against Dead Wrestling Society, and during that match, Gregory Iron suffered a concussion. He laid motionless in the ring for 10 minutes, unconscious, and stayed the night and the following night in the hospital. So he hasn't been in the ring since then, not in a match. Okay, and so I would say that already favors Zach Gowen. That's one advantage. The second advantage is that Zach Gowen has the amazing Nate Mattson in his corner. Amazing Nate Mattson, amazing mind for wrestling. Those two have been friends for years and years. They grew up next to each other. They got into the business together. And so the kind of reuniting there is really nice to see and advantageous for one Mr. Gowen. Gregory Iron, he's going to be fighting on pure emotion, and that's not always the best thing. Sometimes it gets you to a certain point, but then when you're, you know, if the match needs to end in something like a schoolboy or a small package, you're so angry and consumed by this emotion that you're feeling of hatred against your opponent. That's not what you're looking to do. You get stupid at times, and instead, Gregman, you know, instead try to, you know, use a forearm or maybe grab a chair or something like that. But that's not what this match is. This match is for somebody cold and calculated. And several weeks ago, I wouldn't say that was Zach Gowen. I would have never said that his entire life. Nate Mattson, yes. So now, Zach Gowen feels overshadowed by Gregory Iron, which he's been. I mean, he's the original handicap story. This is a handicap match, per se. So Zach Gowen makes his return to television. He teams with Gregory Iron. And instead of Greg letting Zach, you know, maybe bask in that glory of returning to television for the first time in 5 years, Greg goes and suffers a concussion to take all the spotlight away from Zach Gowen. And I know Nate Mattson talked to Zach about it, and I had said a couple things, but, you know, just putting it out there, maybe Greg is a glory hound and a ball hog, per se, but, so Zach Gowen, he's upset, and I believe, though, that he has the mental advantage, especially now being a son of Michigan, which I'd also like to state that the amazing Nate Mattson has told me personally, and he's mentioned it on Prime, that Rhino is from Michigan. They're all friends, and there could be a revelation of Rhino being a son of Michigan at Wrestlution, which if that happens, my pick totally changes, and I'm picking Rhino to beat Bane.
Aaron, I typically agree with most of your statements and opinions on things, and I enjoy your commentary, but you don't think it's a little harsh of Nate Mattson to poison Zach Gowen against Gregory Iron after the man suffered a legitimate concussion, probably was more concerned about his own personal health than glory. Some could argue, I suppose, but you think that's appropriate?
Well, I don't know if it was appropriate that Greg was out there stealing spotlights from Zach Gowen after all he's overcome. I mean, there's some substance abuse problems that Zach Gowen has gone on record admitting to having had in the past. He's cleaned that up. He's become a family man. He's a father. He's gotten married. I mean, he's a wonderful human being. And for him just to have this story, you know, where he's coming back, okay, this was his story to begin with. Then he faded out because he needed to take that couple years break, that 5 year break. And Gregory Iron saw that and took that advantage and took the ball and ran with it. Now Gregory Iron's on television all over the place as the feel-good story. Well, Zach Gowen says, look, I never went away. I wasn't gone for good, okay? I still am missing a leg. I'm still a wrestler with one leg. Gregory Iron, you're not even a good wrestler. You can't continue this. Zach Gowen has been a major, major star. He's got a win over the Big Show. He's been in the ring with John Cena, okay? Yes, Gregory Iron's been endorsed personally by CM Punk. But see, this is stuff that Zach Gowen already did, okay? It's time to move on. And Greg, quit trying to be Zach Gowen.
Well,
I think Amazing Inc. told Zach Gowen this, and I believe it's a good thing that he knows.
I'm going to run the risk of sounding a little too much like Joe Dombrowski and say that's a bit inappropriate. In my opinion, I was excited about the potential of Gowen and Iron teaming up against the Dead Wrestling Society, and I think that Nate Mattson has poisoned the well inappropriately, in my opinion. So I'm going to respectfully disagree with a bit of your interpretation on their former partnership.
Well, Dan, that's fine. It's okay to be wrong every once in a while. I mean, I don't know the feeling personally, but it's okay if you're wrong. But I would like to make this point also, and I don't know that this has been brought up yet, but my sources tell me, reliable sources tell me, that Gregory Iron has been in Hamtramck, Michigan, looking for a home to move to. Because, I mean, if Zach Gowen's a son of Michigan, well, Gregory Iron should be a son of Michigan, too, even if he has to be the stepson.
Interesting.
I'll let Kevin comment on that.
Maybe the housing market is a little bit better in Michigan than it is in Cleveland there.
Not Hamtramck.
Well, I think another pair of partners who need to be talked about also have some family members now involved in this ongoing story. Matt Mason came to Prime Wrestling to find his old friend CK3, and he has not found that. He has found the monster Crimson. Now that Crimson has Jamie Mason on his side, is there anything stopping Crimson from getting to the rest of Matt Mason's family?
Here's the thing. You know, there was supposed to be this rekindling of a friendship from years gone by with what Matt Mason was hoping. You know, he said that's all he was coming to Prime Wrestling for was to find his friend, CK. Matt Mason, he was also looking for a job. He doesn't point that out at all. Okay, the man came to Prime Wrestling looking to get signed. He had a tryout match, and I think that he was looking to ride the coattails of a former CK3. I think he's a very selfish individual. I think he brought his family into this equation. And I don't know what kind of a man does that, but Crimson told him CK3's gone. He's dead. But Crimson is here, and Crimson will be your friend. All you have to do is join the Dead Wrestling Society. I have a match coming up for the championship against Matt Cross. I'll be waiting for you. If you show up, you walk out, and you help me win this championship, the thing I covet the most, then we continue being best friends. We can go back to that day. Well, Matt Mason never showed up. Crimson was waiting. He was then subsequently distracted and defeated by Matt Cross. Hopes and dreams of the championship are down the tube. He's got to go to the back of the line. He's upset about that. So he said, okay, Matt, if you want to take away my hopes and dreams, the thing that I covet the most, I'll take away what you covet the most. And that just so happens to be Matt Mason's wife, Jamie, female bodybuilder, the mother of his children, and now a friend of Crimson's, a member of the Dead Wrestling Society. You gotta admire a man that can come in and do something like that. And I applaud Crimson for what he's done. I mean, to unselfishly go in and welcome Jamie in, because she had no idea what Matt Mason was doing. I mean, Matt was on the road with CK back in the day, you know, when they first met, when Jamie and Matt first met. And, you know, I don't know that he was always altruistic in his endeavors. I don't know that the man was always a saint, if you will, on the road. CK knows those things. Crimson knows those things. Well, he was just letting Jamie know. And if she so happened to enjoy Crimson's company more, the man's a poet. He probably wrote her some poetry. He probably shared some stories. They, you know, maybe sat out by a campfire one night and made s'mores and talked about the good old days. Well, you know, good for her to make her choice. I mean, we're in a...
You don't think she looks like she's under any sort of mind control? It looks a little unnatural when she's with him.
That's happiness. That's what that is. She had never experienced happiness before, but now she is happy. So that's why she looks like that. A lot of people, some people smile when they're happy, but some people just look like they're empty inside, and that's what Jamie is. So, I'm happy for her that she finally found that look. You know, Shawn Michaels went and he looked for his smile. Well, she went and looked for her plain, non-smiling face, and she found it. Good for her.
When Crimson makes s'mores, does he use strawberry in there to get the blood red color?
Oh, you know what? He keeps that a secret. And I don't talk to him as much as I used to because he doesn't like to go to the clubs or anything. I mean, he's kind of tied down with Jamie Mason right now. They're rekindling a friendship and developing a relationship that they hadn't seen before, and they have so much in common. I mean, both of them love to go on YouTube and look at, you know, videos of funny kittens. You know, oh, they fall off a couch, and that's hilarious. And you know, kittens are cute, and that's what they look at together. That's what, you know, my sources tell me. So, I mean, just I have to sit back and be happy for the both of them.
Well, I the one thing I would agree with here is that, you know, you don't tug on Superman's cape and you don't engage someone in any sort of effort for mind control that does the type of talking and interviews that Crimson has done over the past year and a half. That guy's a scary guy. So, this may have been a little more predictable than Mr. Mason might have anticipated, I suppose.
Yeah, he wasn't ready for this. It was his dream to get, you know, on the television, wrestling for Prime Wrestling, but it's turned into a little bit of a nightmare for Mr. Mason, and, you know, I don't know, I guess I kind of feel bad for him, but, you know, sometimes you reap what you sow. I guess that's the best way to put it. You reap what you sow.
So you're picking Crimson in this match, then?
Oh, yeah. How can you not pick Crimson in this match? Crimson is, by far, he's got the psychological advantage, he's got the physical advantage, he's got the emotional advantage. You got to go Crimson all the way, and the numbers advantage, because if something should happen, this is a no disqualification affair, too. So, you know, we could see the emergence of Cursed and of Glory, one or the other. We could see Jamie get involved. We could see all of them get involved. We could see a new member of the Dead Wrestling Society. One never knows when it comes to Crimson.
Excellent. There is one last match. Someone who also has a physical, mental, and emotional advantage is one Jimmy Jacobs over Johnny Gargano, who has been caught from behind with a camera and been taken out a couple of times by sex appeal, too. What do you think about this upcoming match for the Prime Wrestling title?
I was all in favor of picking the Zombie Princess for this match. This ongoing feud, 18 months has gone by, and Jimmy Jacobs has had, I would say, not just a slight advantage, a major advantage in every category. You know, he's played the mind games. He's hurt Gargano. Gargano found himself laying in the middle of the ring in the former ECW arena, injured, unable to move, was out for several months. This was, you know, as a result of previous, this injury, the neck injury suffered by him from Jimmy Jacobs, who's the ski mask attacker, we finally found out. I thought, okay, the Zombie Princess, he came in, he said he was going to be the champion quicker than Gargano was, and he did that. He said that he would headline Resolution quicker than Gargano did, and he's done that. And he said he'd be undefeated longer than Gargano was, and he's done that. He's the face of the company now. I mean, hell, we're at Jacobs Pavilion, so you'd think he has a home field advantage. Until that final episode of Prime Wrestling last week, where the ski mask had been appearing in Jacobs' locker room several times, and the ski mask individual came out, and he revealed himself to be none other than Bobby Beverly. So the mind games got switched, and all of a sudden, when Gargano maybe was at, say, an 80-20 disadvantage, now it's more like a 60-40 disadvantage he's at. Gained a lot of points there when Bobby Beverly came out and distracted Jimmy Jacobs and got in ahead of Jimmy Jacobs now. Jacobs was in full control of sex appeal, full control of Johnny Gargano, full control of Prime Wrestling and the championship, until Bobby Beverly turned the tables. So Johnny Gargano now is, I won't say back in the driver's seat, but he's feeling a lot more comfortable going into Resolution, going into a championship match, and reclaiming his promotion and being a face of his promotion than has ever happened before.
Well, it's certainly a match that's highly anticipated, and if Jimmy Jacobs were to lose that Prime Wrestling title, he might have himself to blame, because he has not treated Bobby Beverly all that respectfully, and he recently was even fairly abusive to Nikki Valentino in an interview. So it's gonna certainly be an interesting main event.
Well, you know what? This is the most emotionally packed Resolution that we've ever had. The most dramatic Resolution that we've ever had. Going into this, all the build-up and all the theatrics involved, the dramatics involved, the athletics involved, I mean, everything, when you add it all together, it's like, this is, they could have called it, it's an enduring spirit, but they could have called it the melting pot, because you got no disqualification matches. You've got high flyers out there. You've got scientific matches. You got technicality. You got anything to a map base. Whatever you prefer as a wrestling fan is going to be on Resolution 5. And not only do you get all that, but then you get a hell of an announce crew with myself, Aaron McGuire, the Prime Minister of Prime Wrestling, and my co-host, my sidekick, Joseph Dombrowski. So I think when you add all that in, plus the little things like Pedro's great announcer, the commentating team, the guy that rings the bell, he's a good one. Not as good as the guy that did it for Valentino Santana last year, but bell ringer, he's good. So the guy that plays the music, he's good. The new director, he's good. So everything's an improvement. You don't have to worry about will Greg Valentine be there or not this year. He's gone. Made a lot of changes going forward. Positive, great direction, a great team, great roster. This is going to be a can't-miss independent wrestling pay-per-view. Internet pay-per-view. Go to PrimeWrestling.com. It's under $15 to order this. Not going to break the bank, people. And some tickets, if you want to go there live, are $10 right now.
And one thing I would add is if people haven't checked out that Prime Wrestling website, that it is it's an extremely high-quality website. I mean, the all the matches are really explained there, and the if you're not familiar with the Prime Wrestling, there's a lot of video and a lot of backstory for people to catch up on what's been going on. And I'd say the website itself, since the transformation from the old PWO to Prime Wrestling, has shown a major improvement.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what happens when I put Aaron McGuire in charge of things like that. You know, I'm not much of a computer guy, but I got on at America Online. I got one of those startup discs in the mail where they gave me 20 free hours, and I went to work. I got my Microsoft Paint, and I did what I could there, and I cut and pasted and did some things, and now you have PrimeWrestling.com, so it's enjoyable. Go to the website. Hey, and you know what? Let me not forget this, too. The YouTube channel, check out Prime Wrestling on YouTube. Every first-run episode from Sunday is replayed on Tuesday. So if you don't have a chance to see it, or if you don't get the type of cable package, you can just watch it on YouTube. That's available. Social media, we're very socially media-friendly. We've got Twitter, we've got the Facebook, we've got the MySpace. I don't know if we got the MySpace. But, so, you know, we're very social media friendly. And if you see me on the street, I'll sell you a ticket to the show.
Excellent. I don't think I could sum it up any better. So I think I will go ahead here and, Dan, would you like to sign off first?
Yeah, I would, and I'd like to thank you, Kevin, for letting me sit in and talk with Mr. McGuire, and I'd like to thank Aaron for taking the time out to visit with us, and I will say that I hope that someday you will become a fan again of Bobby Beverly so you can talk, if he's thrusting again, so you can talk about that on your commentary, because that's has been one of the highlights of the program. But this is Dan again, and thanks for listening, and I'll turn it back over to you guys.
Well, Mr. McGuire, do you have any last parting shots before I close up shop on this fifth interview?
If you've never checked out Prime Wrestling before, or you have checked out Prime Wrestling before, watch it again or watch it for the first time, whichever way possible. The best example will be Resolution 5, An Enduring Spirit, on August 19th, special 3 p.m. matinee show. Enjoy it for under $15. You can enjoy it live for as much as $30 or the least amount is $10. And in some venues, you can get it for $5. And if you talk to me, I might trade you something for it. But ask me to hand it or contact me personally on Twitter, direct message me or something like that. But, Kevin, Dan, it was a pleasure. I know you guys will be there. Kevin, I know you already got your tickets. That's exciting. I can't wait to see you. We'll talk there. And, Dan, I know you're going to be ordering it on iPay-Per-View. And maybe I'll give you a special shout-out.
Appreciate it.
Okay, and you know what? Upper management is calling me right now. My call waiting, so I'm going to bounce. But thanks again, guys, and we'll see you August 19th from the Jacobs Pavilion in Cleveland, Ohio.
Okie doke, grandkids. It's time for this man to go grab a sippy time beer. I am out. Thank you for joining us for another interview. Yeah.